Great. Welcome, everyone, on the BBS Network. We're just about 2 minutes before we start, and we're just hanging out here and discussing different things.
Is that lady on that was on Monday night that had the allergies?
I'm one of the people with allergies. This is May from Concord. Is that the one you're talking about?
I'm not sure. There was a big conversation going on about allergies, and I was gonna comment some knowledge that I have about it that I couldn't get in. The ladies were talking.
Oh, go ahead. I'm open.
Have you ever heard of adrenal fatigue?
Oh, I have. You know, I should check into that. I keep forgetting about all these different things.
There's a little book written about 30, 40 years ago about a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He had allergies real bad.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sorry, I'll just interrupt you for a sec. Good evening.
Go
welcome
ahead and greet.
If you want to say your name and city. Or remain in the background. Okay,
so adrenal fatigue book.
And he wrote a little book called Goodbye Allergies.
Goodbye Allergies, okay.
And it boils down to something really simple,
mm-hmm.
is reducing the carbohydrates in your diet.
Yes.
Not taking anything more than 5% that is more than 5% carbohydrates.
Okay.
I had allergies real bad. I was allergic to everything. And they were poking me and testing me and everything. I read that little book, and I went to that diet, just restricting carbohydrates. And in 3 days, I was cleared up.
Oh, wow.
Gonna try.
Hey, good morning. There's a few people who have just joined us. Do you want to say your name and city?
There you are. In Northern Ohio.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Hi there.
Hi. I'm in Pennsylvania. How do you mute your phone? How do you mute the phone? Everybody can hear me.
We hear you.
At least we can hear you.
Star 6, mutes and unmutes.
Star 6.
Hi, welcome to the call. Do you want to say your name and city?
Hi, this is Bonnie in Southern California.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
You guys are talking about allergies. Do you think it's due to the carbohydrates, or do you think it's due to the GMO manipulation of carbohydrates, grains and things?
Yeah, a lot of, it's hard telling now. Back then when he wrote the book, we didn't have any GMOs, and the only pollution that we really had in the food was pesticides, you know?
Right.
But there's much more pollution that we're dealing with now that... But anyway, it boils down to adrenal fatigue. The adrenal glands are responsible for the processing of carbohydrates, and they're also responsible for a weakness towards allergies. And if the adrenals are fatigued, you cut out the carbohydrates, they pick back up and your allergies go away.
Dr. Wallach... Anybody new? Sorry.
Oh, some people joined us. If you want to, anyone want to say their name and city, or remain in the background, it's up to you.
Lisa Wolf, Crescent Valley, Nevada.
Hi. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Good evening. Hi.
Good evening. Welcome to the call, everyone.
Thank you.
I know also Dr. Wallach says you shouldn't eat, he mentioned most grains. He's got the list on Critical Health News. They have a list of 10 foods you should not eat. It includes most grains.
Uh-huh.
Good evening.
Hello.
Welcome to the call. Do you want to say your name and city?
Hi, it's Wynn.
Wynn.
Oh, hi,
Sedona.
Wynn. Welcome to the call, everyone. So I'll turn it over to you.
Actually, hi there. Okay, wait a second here. How does Terry sound?
first she sounded like she was breaking up, and then she sounded better.
Okay. She lost her phone, okay?
Right.
And,
I don't know how to mute this phone. Can you hear me?
Well, did you mute your headset, Terry?
I got my headset, yeah.
But I mean, the headset's got a mute button on it, okay?
But I don't know how to work it.
You push that little square rectangle, okay?
Where?
Her transmission is happy.
Well, don't worry about it. You don't have to be muted anyway. Okay? So, hang on. I'm just taking a minute now. You know, I think we have... Let me see. Everyone's still unmuted, okay?
Right.
Yeah. And just checking, do we have Lisa Wolf on the line?
I didn't hear her.
I did.
Yes, I am on the line.
Okay. Great. And how about Eddie? Eddie, are you on the line?
Why is this going right now? Okay. Hello?
Eddie, are you on the line? Calling Eddie. Okay. Hang on here. I'm just copying the questions for tonight because I put a list. Hi, this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? No. That's okay. You can just listen in.
I get there. That's all. This is Michael in San Diego.
Hi, Michael.
Greetings. Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. How's your new cat?
He's okay. I came home and he said, let's play. So that's kind of what we've been doing.
he said, let's fight?
Play.
No, let's play.
Play.
Oh, my God.
He's very playful. And he likes to play. He has this little tube that he runs through. And he likes. Gets halfway in, so I have to go to the other side and dangle a toy. It's like he's loading the cannon. It's kind of fun. He thinks it's kind of fun. Anyway.
Hey, this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Raiden Knight, Cave Creek, Arizona.
Hello.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi.
Hey. Good to hear you. Okay.
Good to hear you also.
All right.
Very profound call Monday.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, from the stuff I read from the raw material, you mean?
Just the whole thing, everything.
I can't even remember it, so.
Your insides, everything.
I'm inside everything. That's exactly right. It just happens. Okay, I got some questions here, so hang on. We're going to meet everybody.
Hi.
And who's that?
That's me, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay,
you can mute us now.
Wynn, are you open to last-minute questions to be emailed in?
You can try it because I put in a call for new people to ask questions. So we did get some new questions. So I'm giving those priority. But go ahead and do that. If I don't get to it, ask it next week. Okay.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
All
Thanks.
Right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. Well, wait, I got to start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 30th. It's almost New Year's Eve. Tomorrow, Wynn and Terry in Arizona and Colleen in Vancouver and all of you everywhere. And this is our Wednesday night call where people are asking questions to our sources for whatever topic they choose, as long as I agree to ask it, of course. And, you know, we have somebody that's coming onto our call for the first time tonight, and she just discovered us, and she happens to be someone that's quite committed to making a shift on the planet. Now, let me see if I can figure out how to unmute her, because I just thought I'd introduce her to everybody. Just a second. Lisa, are you unmuted? Say something. No? Hang on. Uh-oh. Hang on. Wait a second. Okay, I got her number. Now I just got to find her on my list here. Just a second. Here we go. Found it. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
We hear you. So,
okay.
You know, she's only been discovering us for a few days, and she happens to be one of those people that has, how would I say it, some notoriety in the shift the planet world. She has a group that's working. The reason she called me, or I called.
You're coming in and out, Wynn.
Somebody introduced. Hang on a second. Am I clear now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I just cut off the chimes. Somebody introduced us, and we ended up talking quite some time, and she has certain recognition levels with Native Americans. She is involved in a group that's trying to save the world from radiation from Fukushima, and she's exploring our group and what we do here, because to see if there's any integration with the things she does that could change the world or change the world a little bit. And many of us on this line have had this unusual opportunity to connect with the energy on the line, feel the energy, have various phenomena of intervention, what seems to be intervention from intelligence in other realms, and kind of getting the feel of how it works, how to make a relationship with them, and for them to make a relationship with you. And although Elohim has been one of the words for God historically, early on, when I asked them directly if they liked being worshipped, they said no. They said they were like our big brothers, or the basic rule of the universe is the law of one, which means everything is part of the same energy, and that originally started with what they call the one infinite creator that has spread out, and now we have a physical universe. And as we all know, a lot of things, at least in the earth plane of the physical universe, are pretty negative. And there's people that really care. And I have this idea that it's possible to have a partnership with these sources, that they want to help us. And many times they've indicated their ability to shift energy. sometimes in a very small way that's sometimes almost funny, and sometimes in a grand way that makes a difference. But they have a criteria for how they interface, how they work with us. And over many years of asking questions, I see from their point of view, this is just one point. Derry, you're making noise.
Okay.
This is just one planet in a series of planets. We come and go. We reincarnate. Planets come and go. Sometimes they stay. And usually, whether they go has to do with the consciousness of the people on the planet. And there's obviously huge negative forces that are trying to take over and control this realm. And they're doing an awfully good job. And what I get is Lisa is one of those people that is kind of a mover and a shaker, and it's exciting to have her.
Likewise.
Come on, the call. And would you like to say anything, Lisa?
Just that I am very interested and thank Terry very much for being a vehicle, because really what we're asking is if the Elohim and the host, so to speak, can give us a mega miracle if we all work with them. So it's nice to amplify positive, proactive, earth-saving energies and intentions. And thank you all very much for having me as part of your group. It's an honor and a responsibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I have to give lots of credit for the people that are on this call that keep coming back, that even when we're really small and even, you know, it looks like we're trivial, somehow they're getting it and they keep supporting it, because it's the beginning of a group consciousness that has the potential to be very big. And it's easy when to get in on something when it gets big and everyone is looking at it. But when it's really small, the people that can support it are kind of heroes. So in any case, I'm getting tearful, so I guess that's good, you know, because it's, we have been working really hard for a long time. And if anyone new has come into the call, since, you know, we have a big list and a little list, and the little list are the people that get conference call notifications and have asked for it, and the big list are people that get emails in their email and wonder, I wonder what this is about. So if we have any people that got an email inviting them to the call tonight, just be open-minded. And we're glad to have you. Let me see if we have people listening on the internet too, okay? So in any case, Terry, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, you sound very good. You sound good on Skype. Okay.
Good.
I'm not on Skype. You're on Skype, so that's pretty good. Okay. So let's get started. Let me get all our questions up for the day. There we go. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. So we have a question from Marilyn Lawrence in Flagstaff, and she's asking a good question for tonight. Many people would like to start something anew for the new year. You know what, before I ask our questions, let me ask our sources if they have an opening greeting for us. Thank you.
Thank you. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to make contact, to have this opportunity to be with you, each and every one of you. And the subject of radiation, what has been done in Fukushima is small compared to what is potential hazards. And that needs to be looked at, and the reactors across the world need to be fortified so that they do not suffer similar consequences to Fukushima. Decay of radioactive material is not a constant and can be varied. There are things that can be done. When radioactive material is given its proper electrons back, then it becomes neutralized. There needs to be a whole review of the safety of reactors across the world. Fukushima has led the way in being an example of problems that can occur, and some officials have gotten the message. More need to get the message. Go ahead with your questions.
Okay. The first question is from Marilyn Lawrence. And being that it's a new year, what spiritual practice would be most effective in creating balance for individuals with the conditions of the world and the energies the Earth is entering? Thank you.
taking time for oneself and to strengthen one's own center, so that since they are the source of their outreach, they can then balance. When they are balanced, they have a better chance to balance the incoming energies. When one can take time for themselves and honor themselves and strengthen themselves, then they are able to counterbalance much that goes on around them.
Thank you. Don Herman asks, why can some people remember their past lives while most cannot? Is this natural or a pre-life agreement or something that is done to us for control purposes? It seems like one could have faster spiritual unfolding if they could remember their past lives. Thank you. I just want to make the comment that I'm not so sure that remembering your past lives would give you faster spiritual unfoldment. One of the things I have noticed, because I do happen to know a number of my past lives, that depending on what I'm doing this life, I'm allowed to see another lifetime, one way or another. But if I saw certain lifetimes prior to having a comparable experience of that lifetime in this lifetime, I think it would have just overwhelmed me. So I think it's most important to know the past lives, or even approximately what you've done in the past to create the circumstances that you're in right now. And that when you've mastered those circumstances, you then can be open to more. But the fact of all the past lives we had is so overwhelming that I don't think anybody could handle the full knowledge of it. Could they deal with it mentally? The key is to surface the energies. And you don't need to know the past life to surface the energy. You just need to understand that there's a huge amount going on inside you that is coming from programming from the past. And when you can honestly look at yourself, whether you know the past life or not, you can start identifying the program responses, and then you can almost reverse engineer the past life. That's part of my experience. But let me just turn it over to our sources and have them answer. Thank you.
Thank you. It is all part of you, and it is released to your consciousness as you are able to become aware of it. It can be released in dreams. And you may not even think of it as past life. You may just think of it as a dream. However, if you notice the dreams, the thoughts that you have, they are often connected with who you were in a past life. If you, for instance, are looking at your body and you think a thought like, oh, geez, it's really nice to be able to have teeth again. And then that thought, well, why would I have that thought if I didn't live before?
there's little clues that creep in to your day-to-day life that when you examine them, you can then learn more. It is revealed to you little day at a time, maybe one snapshot of a person's face. Oh, I wonder who that was.
Mm-hmm.
And as time goes by, these little clues, these dreams, these little dots make a pattern and provide you with more and more information about who you were, even the patterns that you express are the same patterns that you are expressing now, although there are some lifetimes when a pattern might not kick in. But when you examine something, it can lead to clues. And those clues can then become expansive and lead to more clues. And as you are ready, your memory can open up. Do not feel bad if you do not remember. You may be actually remembering more than you know.
Thank you. Question from Edith in Chicago, Newsletter. She is trying to get pregnant and has been having a hard time. Specialists say nothing is wrong. Her name is Edith. Edith in Chicago, okay?
Okay.
She's been trying to get pregnant and having a hard time. Specialists say nothing is wrong with either one of us. Can there be something we are missing for us to be successful at that?
Give us a moment. There may be subtle things. When you examine the timing, the start, then that is one thing. That is more of a material thing where the situations occur for the pregnancy to happen. Then, beyond the setup, the material things, there are the spiritual, the thoughts, the desires. We take a look further. We see that there are other factors. Who is going to be the child? Who is going to be coming in to take the body? This may not happen until later in the pregnancy. Any worries that you have about your day-to-day life and finances can provide somewhat of a block. Little hesitancies. We just getting into a romantic situation where you set aside all the problems, anything to do with money,
anything to do with difficulties that in your day-to-day life take your attention. Setting it aside and then at some later point going and getting it and bringing it back in so that you are not worried about things in the moment of conception, that you are focused upon that outcome, that desire in the both of you to have a child will go a long way towards having this happen, like all signals go. So when you take a look at when you're trying to get pregnant, are all signals go? If they aren't, set whatever isn't a go to the side. Stack it to the side on a shelf to be looked at later so that your total attention is there with the three, the potential, the availability, the readiness. Anything in your own mind that occurs to you as not quite the right time, not being ready, not this month, then stack it on the shelf to the side and let it go for the moment and recover it at a later point.
Thank you. Question from Clay in South Carolina. Hi, everyone. Like so many on the path, I find myself in a merry-go-round that isn't nearly as merry as I'd like it to be. In my unique situation, I have been blessed in many ways, but I want to morph the old tired cycles into upward movement. What is the best way for me and others in similar situations to elevate? A lot of my boomerang momentum is because of my mate's addiction.
Thank you.
My job has demanded a lot
Take
of
a
me.
Look. You ask not only...
Hello? Did we lose Terry here? Just a moment. Hello. I'm on. Terry? Terry, we don't hear you. Hang on. Let me just bring her into this room, and we'll continue. Okay. I'll just hold the microphone over to you. Okay, let's get back in the space. So I repeat the last question?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Not only for yourself, but you ask for situations in general. Some things are below the consciousness and are hard to correct. And
until one becomes aware of them, then it is hard to correct them. But once one becomes aware, then they correct automatically on their own. There is then in the day-to-day life the ability of the of you and others in the same circumstance or similar feelings to, when they experience that, to change their surroundings into a surroundings that is what that more like what they're seeking, to move. And when you move, then it is subjecting you to more stimulus, of which you have more choices to choose. So if you put yourself in motion, take a short trip on a train, maybe eat in a dining car, go to a Starbucks where everyone is talking and the mood may be elevated, to listen to a song that changes your mood, to change your mood, and perhaps your seeing your surroundings can help prompt you to move into a different space.
Thank you. Next question. Let me see. Clay, I'm not going to ask the second part of your question. You can ask it next week. But normally, when you ask a question like that, it's like, it's a question that causes you to give up your power. In order to have, this question has to do with his prospects this new year. It's like, one, one's prospects are not one's destiny. Although there are times when things flow easier and harder, I think the biggest catalyst in having prospects is your ability to project new energies into the world. Your ability to believe in yourself. Your ability to create. You see, you create your prospects. You're a human antenna. Every one of us is an antenna. And depending what our antenna is radiating is what causes, and if it's radiating, is the distinction whether other people are picking up our signal or not. And when you start radiating, you start radiating your signal into the collective, and suddenly things come back to you that look like miracles or synchronicities. And learning how to do that, how do you learn how to do that? That's one of the things that we work on all the time on these calls, and many people that are on these calls feel an expanded energy on the call. And as you learn to experience an expanded energy, you also learn to radiate your energy. You don't have to try to do it. It just happens automatically. Your energy starts radiating, and suddenly things come in. You say, where did that come from? That was really neat. And you have what's called a synchronicity, okay? And next question is from Jim in Medford. Let me see here. Wait a second. Jim, I'm going to put you off for the moment, okay? Hang on. Questions? Just a moment. Okay, I think I wanted to do one of your other questions, Jim. Just hold on a second. Okay, let me ask his first question. Okay. New Jersey. Okay. Jim asks the question, do my wife Gina and I have a past life history together? Is there a pre-incarnation connection or a purpose, particularly between us in this lifetime? Thank you.
Together before, and you have growth together, and you wished to continue that growth, to co-create together. Yes.
Thank you. Next question. Lisa sent a number of questions. Let me at least ask a few of them here. Couple of them. Let's see how time goes. And I want to see if we have no more last minute questions tonight. No, good. Okay. And I introduced Lisa earlier, and she is working with a group that's trying to figure out how to reduce the radiation at Fukushima. And they talked about it earlier. So her first question, and this is something that we actually have worked with quite a bit in our group. In fact, we have two people in our group who, I've never called them Ghostbusters, but they have demonstrated great ability to go into people's spaces and clear out what you could call entities from both their own psychic space, as well as their property. So Lisa's question is, when we encounter someone who has entities or evil spirits, is there a way to help that person break free? Is there any effective way to exorcise demons from someone who still has kindness, love, and compassion in them and is evidencing possession? How are we to deal with such people? Can we help them? Can't every soul be saved? And, you know, I think there's two criteria in her question. I want to divide it as, like, when you want to get rid of demons from someone who has kindness, love, and compassion, and who is evidencing possession, some people can fit that criteria and know they have entities, and a great many others don't know. And so there may be two different answers for both kinds of people, because oftentimes people experience entities and possessions as actually part of themselves and not something that they can be separated from. So let's go with that question. Okay, and let me just move the microphone over to Terry.
Thank you. The answer can be quite simple. However, there's a whole range of possibilities in between. As Wynn was mentioning, the person may not be aware that they have entities, although you may be aware of it and you sometimes even perhaps see them and see the energy take over. However, if they are not aware of it, then it is an interactive part of the way that they react to their environment. Then they may not even know that there is that as a problem or a potential solution to problems they may have. So when the person is not aware of it, it is rather hard to address. If the person is aware of it, then there are qualified individuals that are able to help people to work through them. We do not recommend getting rid of entities by force, as the entities do not benefit, but when the entities are handled in an appropriate manner, everyone wins. The person who has released them and the entity itself, as it has grown and is able to take on a new energetic life without the crutch of the host.
Thank you. You know, sometimes these entities, even though they're intruders, sometimes they had many of them, maybe all of them, but many of them had lives and got stuck in a nuclear blast or something and somehow attached themselves. So they ended up in a situation, in a circumstance that is not very appealing, but they can do, they may not, this may be better not to look at them as evil, but they're still a victim of circumstance and they're affecting someone else. So the idea of having everyone win, including the entity, is a good one to approach that with, okay?
Yeah.
Next question. Now, we semi-answered this earlier, okay? And I think that we have had... I'm going to rewrite this question here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. And just a moment. Just a moment. Hang on. The question, we're going to go back to radiation. Okay, we know, as was indicated earlier, that nuclear reactors in general pose a threat to our planet. We know, or we expect, that it's very likely there's going to be more Earth changes. And Earth changes which could cause more Fukushimas. And that there needs to be a huge public outcry and political outcry for shifting power to other sources. And in the same time, we have Fukushima, which many people believe there's evidence is putting out dangerous levels of radiation right now. And every Sunday, we do a call where we focus down on Fukushima. The Elohim have told us that they have actually assisted to some extent in reducing the radiation from Fukushima. And so the question is, in the particular case of Fukushima, without going into all the reactors of the world, what can individuals do to help fix that particular problem? And let me turn it over to our sources. Here we go.
One thing they can do is to pray about it, as that turns the posture of the world a little bit towards the alleviation of the problem. When they put that out into the collective, that they're praying for less humiliation, to pray to solve the problem of the water going into the Pacific, to see what just putting it out into the collective, to see what can be done, who is out there with the capability to move the problem to a lesser problem. As we speak slowly, because we are putting it out into the collective, that it be done. We are working with individuals on Earth. It is a co-creative process. Earth has been placed in the hands of the people that are there and are doing the work. And it helps for them to know that their prayers do make a difference.
So when we do our Sunday call, we pray and we're focusing on Fukushima, that makes a little dent.
Yes, it does, in the fabric of all that is.
Thank you. Okay, it is 7:55, and we're going to end this call. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for anyone new who's attending tonight and submitted questions. And I love, if something really impacted you, send me an email. I like to hear what works. And let me unmute everybody. And on that note,
all callers are unmuted.
Thank you.
Sweet dreams.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wynn. Thanks, Terry.
Love you. Happy Elohim.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Your conference recording has stopped.
We'll see you all, or some of you, Sunday.
I'm the Memphis.
Goodbye.